Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. I hope wherever you are in the world, you are well and coping okay with the performance we've just seen away at Old Trafford. I'll get stuck into the match shortly. Firstly, it wasn't pretty viewing, right? I think many of us have kind of maybe we've conditioned ourselves to the next few months, given the injuries, given the struggles we've had scoring goals, the lack of transfer signing in the January window. I think we've had plenty of time and evidence to suggest that watching Arsenal try to break down low blocks in the league, it's going to be difficult viewing. It was excruciating at times, right? And sadly, there's still plenty of league action still to come in the remaining months. So it's not easy. It's understandable. Yes, much of it is our own doing, right? With the choices we've made in squad composition. Also, you without rehashing everything, I don't think this serves anyone right now to go through the bad luck that we've experienced. The only reason I reference it is that Liverpool keep charging away, and it's just one of those things, right? When it's your season, it's your season. When the 50-50s go your way, yes, you still got to capitalize, right? You still got to be good enough to do it. And they most certainly are. Their points tally, the numbers they're putting up are fantastic, title-worthy numbers they're putting up. They're going to be deserving Premier League champions, of course. And then, of course, on top of that, there's Mo Salah, who is on track for a Ballon d'Or season. So there's no problem in holding multiple views at once, right? I try not to see things very binary, which I believe too many people in society now are either on one end of the extremes, dealing in black and whites and dealing in absolutes. It's either this or that. I think you can have multiple viewpoints that are all valid concurrently, and they can live together. They can coexist together. I think Liverpool are absolutely title worthy. Their performance this season, they're worthy of a Premier League title, and as well, they've been lucky. They've been fortunate. They've kept their best player fit for the entire season, and look how much that's been rewarded on the pitch. We unfortunately haven't, with Saka going down in December now, and it's just one of those things. Like it's okay to acknowledge and say yes, they've been fortunate. The decisions they receive in terms of penalties, like, I'd love a bit of that. I'd love a slice of that luck pie. Even during the week against PSG, PSG should have absolutely thumped them, really. Liverpool should have been down to 10 men. The red card to Konate, if that's not denying a goal score and an opportunity, I don't know what is. And the only reason I'm mentioning this, right, I'm going to wrap up this part of it soon. No one wants to hear me talk bang on about Liverpool, right? The only reason I reference it is just to say that when you compare and contrast some of the decisions we've received, especially denying a goal scorer an opportunity and whatnot, like the lack of consistency, it does just sting from time to time. And maybe this is me a bit bleary-eyed, right? I was up at a ridiculous time this morning around 3:15, and then I fumble and stumble my way over the iPad on the bedside table and try to get their Bluetooth headphones connected and try not to wake anyone up and sneak to the bathroom and just get myself sorted. And just, yeah, one of those things where, look, I would do it again, and I choose to do this, right? Over here in Australia, the kickoff times, they are what they are, but I've had 30 years to acclimatize myself and adjust to that and make it work as best as it can for me. One of those things where when you sit through that and you come out the other end with a very lackluster performance and you wonder, what WTF did I just watch? There's a part of me that's thinking, geez, I should have just slept in, right, and then catch up on the game over the morning. But look, it is what it is. Maybe I'm just waffling on a little bit just to defer and deflect from the part of it that's going to get a bit dour now in this podcast. It was a very difficult watch. It was oh so predictable at times too. We saw how much they ceded possession in the first half. They gave the ball to us. We dominated, right? It's not just about the stats and whatnot, the possession based stats and the passes we were stringing together. It's about what did we do in the final third, and we have seen this so many times, right? Like Arsenal fans, we have watched this match. We can close our eyes right now, right? And just see it unfold. It's just a matter of which opposition, which venue. We have seen Arsenal continually struggle to break down teams who set up that way. And personnel matters. Of course it does. I'm not going to overlook that fact, right? We of course know the injuries. Havertz and Saka are missing. Martinelli's been missing. Speaking of which, what a huge boost to have him back in the squad and then play. Took over half an hour, I believe, maybe 35 minutes he played. Like, that's a massive boost for the squad. And the club's done really, really well, yeah, to keep that under wraps. I don't think there was any reports of him even being in the first team training in the last week or two, right, as he builds up his load to return to action. So that's a very welcome boost. And I think much needed at this time, right, given our attacking struggles. But anyway, the point I was trying to make is that we have seen, even with our best players available, even with Saka and Havertz and everyone fit and available and starting and playing regularly, we have seen a recurring issue from Arsenal that we have struggled to break down these low blocks. Once the horseshoe of death comes out into play, like it's very, very predictable, and it's just very difficult to watch how sometimes it seems so easy to negate Arsenal by setting up in a certain way. And this is something that predates the injuries and whatnot. This has been a recurring theme in Arteta's time. And look, it's just one of those things that we have to overcome. I mean, in his time at Manchester City, right, they overcame it during his tenure there. So he's got the experience, he's got the toolkit. I mean, we're not the only team who suffers, right, when the opposition set up this way to keep us out. It's just part and parcel. Like, do we want to climb the mountain? Do we want to conquer the mountain and win trophies? Of course we do. We must find a way to unlock these. And I know what sometimes happens when we start talking about this aspect is that many, understandably, right, many point to Arsenal's goal scoring tallies, the volume of goals that we have scored in the last few seasons. I believe they've been record breaking. Last season we scored more goals than the Invincibles did, and I understand how many point to that and say, look, there's no problem, there's no issue to address there. However, it can be a very misleading stat. Right? It's misleading in this respect. When it rains goals for Arsenal, it pours, doesn't it? We even saw that midweek, albeit a bit of an aberration because of the way PSV set up. I think I said many times in discussing that match that we just don't get that space afforded to us in England. Like, you just don't see many Premier League teams do that, because quite rightly, that's why they don't, because we absolutely stack on the goals and we tear teams apart when set up that way. So the point I'm trying to make is stats can be misleading. I'll just take a generic example, right? When we go through runs and we start hitting teams for six and we start piling on goals, right? We saw around this time last year that incredible run we went on. So say we beat a team 6-0 and then we beat another team 6-0 the week after, and then there's a 4-0, right? But then all of a sudden, so what's that? So that's 16 goals scored in three games. But then all of a sudden, right, we'll come up against a team and we struggle to score. It's happened against Everton, Aston Villa, Fulham over the seasons, right? All of a sudden, though, when you strip it out on paper, that's four matches, 16 goals scored. And, you know, if you just divide it by four, simple averages, wow, Arsenal's averaging four goals a game. Now, four goals a game is going to win you Premier League titles. It's going to win you, it's going to pretty much take 3 points every fixture if you can produce that. However, that's not how it works. We're not scoring four goals per match. What I would much rather do, right, I wish it was this simple to wave a magic wand and it works this way. I would rather beat teams 3-0 or 4-0 and then spread those goals across. When we've been kept out and teams have kept clean sheets against us, I would love to allocate a couple of goals that way, because that's the difference between drawing or losing or taking 3 points and maximizing points. Now, for a team like Arsenal, we've been so close, right? We finished 5 points off the title two seasons ago, 2 points off last season against Manchester City twice. This year, of course, I mean, it remains to be seen what the final margin is going to be in terms of how far ahead Liverpool run away with the title. So if we want to take that final step, we must we must find a way to unlock these defenses. Sure, many will just point to, okay, just get that clinical finisher, get that killer in front of goal, that XG monster. Many point to Šeško, who fires shots at goal. He takes shots. He takes those risks. He's direct. He's a powerhouse. And that's something sorely lacking with Arsenal. And this is something that we've seen even Arteta mention in recent years. I remember when we went hard for Rafinha. This is approaching 3 years now, right? 3 years. And then the window after that, we went hard for Mudrik. I'm sure there's been other forwards linked with us. It just, the names escape me right now. Nico Williams last season, yes, that's right. However, it's clear what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to find that key world-class forward, whether cutting in from the left or central. We've been lacking that. Too often, Arsenal are easy to keep out. Sure, Saka does his absolute best to unpick the lock with his set-piece delivery from corners, him taking shots on himself, driving into the box, left foot, right foot. Odegaard's, his goals have dried up. Rice, as wonderful as he was this morning, you know, I'm really hoping that he can start hitting the scoreboard more often than he can. I'll come back to the game in a moment. But the parallel conversation I'm having with this match, as much as this match hurts and as much as the result hurts, and, you know, it sucks. It sucks that we haven't been able to capitalize, right, these last few matches, especially since the momentum generator against Leicester, who we sometimes do forget they were quite awful as well. If I'm going to call PSV awful, Leicester themselves were quite awful. And that match for 80-odd minutes, that was difficult viewing too. So since then, unfortunately, we had that West Ham, the shocker. We were much better against Forest, right? That was probably a fair result. A point taken at them is not the end of the world in the grand scheme of things. However, against United, given their struggles, we really should have put them away. We had the extra days off to prepare, and you know we should have won. There's no sort of escaping that. On the match itself, now I guess I keep putting this off, so I'll just have to face it now and deal with it, and address it directly. We should have won. We should have capitalized in the first half. We didn't. However, having said that, you know what? If I'm taking my Arsenal hat off for a moment, we should have lost. United had the better chances of the second half. We were holding on. We were hanging on by a thread. Towards the end there, those saves from David Raya were world class, and he's having a world class season. I wish he positioned himself better in the free kick. I know many point to, I've never even seen this stat before on the TV screen, right? I've never seen them actually measure the distance from the ball to where the wall is set up. It's just one of those bizarre things does this happen elsewhere? Please correct me if I'm wrong, right? Or is this just one of those things that happens against Arsenal? Like how is this a thing now with so many things that we've seen go against us and not in our favour, right? Like, is this just another thing now, that like the extra metre and a half or whatever it end up being, did that make the difference? Because, you know, the wall jumped. From memory, the ball had slipped through just a tiny gap between Marino's head and Gabriel's head. it's bizarre that we're even talking about this, right? That this is the thing now, they measure the distance where Anthony Taylor set up the wall. But look, it's just, maybe that just encapsulates the season and the luck that we're having, right? I have to laugh sometimes because, I guess you just have to. Raya, he was just too far positioned to one side. I mean, if he was closer, the ball was always going to go that side, right? That was the gaping hole side. That's where Fernandez takes his shots. Thankfully, though, he more than made up for it in the second half, keeping out Fernandez again. He absolutely should have buried that, no doubt. There was the volley with the loop ball over the top. We were caught out, left back. We were caught on the counter again, which was really, really concerning how much we're getting caught out going direct through, you know, cut through the middle. That's not something I'd like seeing, and something that, you know, Arsenal have really worked on, Arteta has really worked on to eliminate from our game. It was a dangerous time, so we really hung on for dear life. And in the end, as much as 1-1 hurts, It's probably a fair result on balance. I don't think Arteta uses these words a lot, like do your best to deserve to win the 3 points. And I think it must be said, I don't necessarily think we deserved to win it. It was very dour viewing sometimes. It's a painfully slow in build up. We had, of course, Rice was man of the match. He was outstanding at both ends. That goal was sensational. Why is he not doing that more often is the first reaction. But also, why is he not taking free kicks? He's all of a sudden emerged as one of our best ball strikers, right? Odegaard, the power from his shots really seems to have regressed recently. I'm sure there's a valid explanation to it, but he's just not hitting his shots with the same authority that we saw him take just a few seasons ago, right? He used to regularly score from central areas, outside the box, low driving shots into the corner, giving the keeper very little chance. But now too often, it's just stroking them just directly at the keeper. This stuff makes all the difference. I mean, Rice is taking the game on, and it was a fantastic shot, unsavable. Well done to Timber for getting deep on the overlap into that position, and then picking out Rice with a beautiful pass, and he converted beautifully. Sometimes it looks so easy, doesn't it? Trossard has been off, unfortunately. I will. You can't ignore this part, right? You have to say that Trossard's minutes, this is not where he's at his best. He's carried a very heavy load, and to his absolute credit, he's still fit. He's still available. I mean, we saw, unfortunately, how the workload, how it eventually broke the likes of Saka, Havertz, Martinelli, right, over January. Trossard's played just as many minutes through that period as anyone else, right? Credit to him. He's that old argument that we used to have, or it wasn't an argument, the old discussion we used to have in recent seasons about is Trossard at his best as an impact sub, right? When he comes on with 20, 25, 30 minutes to go, and his goal scoring record, his goal scoring contributions are outstanding in that regard. The injuries has really taken that off the table. We don't have the luxury to do that. We don't have the benefit because, unfortunately, not just with the injuries, but Sterling's been a non-factor. Arteta's been reluctant to throw minutes to some of the youngsters who've been hanging around the fringes. And now that Martinelli's back, their chances will probably they will fall further behind it in the pecking order. Speaking of pecking order, Tierney is now ahead of Sterling, right? Which it's not a good reflection on squad building, squad composition, but let's not have that conversation again because it's been done endlessly. So I actually do think we didn't deserve to win this match. It was just very, very difficult viewing, and we hung on. We just had to cling on to salvage a point at the end. And as it turns out, it finishes 1-1. And what can we do but just scratch our heads, shrug our shoulders, and think, what do we do next in the league? It's not an easy thing to reflect on because it's not going away, unfortunately. We're not going to automatically find ourselves being afforded so much space and time with how teams set up. I think many teams now in the remaining Premier League matches, starting with Chelsea next weekend, I mean, that they look to this and they know how to negate us. You saw the quote from Nuno a couple of weeks back after the Forest match when he was asked. There was nothing disparaging about his answer. He was very factual. He was asked how come he only played four defenders instead of their usual back five, and he just said, "Look, Arsenal don't have a striker. We didn't need to," and that tells you everything about the challenges we face now in scoring goals and winning Premier League matches. Since Leicester, I think we're winless in three. So post Dubai, I believe it's 7 points now out of. Is it 5 points or seven? Pardon me, I got that wrong. Post Dubai, it is 5 points out of 12 available. And in the last three matches, well, we've salvaged two draws and a loss. So it's just come at a really unfortunate time when there was a slight window still available when we reduced the margin back to 5 points after Leicester. But Liverpool have been unstoppable since, and they're just going to run away with it now. So all eyes on the Champions League, yeah. I mean, that's keeping us afloat right now. I'm really grateful that we pounded PSV last week. It's going to give some opportunity this week for a little bit of rotation. I don't think Arteta's one to make 11, 10 or 11 changes. I think we're all accustomed to that now, right? So get ready to read that team sheet and see many regular starters on there, and we're going to wonder, well, why are they starting and why not so-and-so? It's just, it's part of the territory now with the way Arsenal does it. We probably will see 3 to 4 changes. I'd like to think there's an opportunity just to sit a couple of players out or even just get a look at different formation, different setup, because we're going to need something. We're going to need something different to unlock these challenges in the Premier League season. And I'm really grateful that we are going to at least get the glamour tie against one of those Madrid giants. It remains to be seen if it's Atletico or Real Madrid. We really need this. It's going to be a special night at the Emirates, whoever is hosted there. And to go away to Spain, to Madrid, a big Champions League quarterfinal tie, it's going to be massive for the squad. And of course, I'm absolutely hoping that it's on like Donkey Kong and we can somehow find our way through, because if we don't, like if we didn't have Champions League right now, it's going to be really difficult. The mood, the sentiment at the club, it's still only March, right? There's still several months to go. I think there's 10 league matches to go, 11. Pardon me, I may have got that wrong. But it's going to be really difficult on the balance of what we've seen the last few matches. It's going to be a very difficult end to the Premier League campaign that no one really wants, and no one really wants to sit through and talk about this week after week and continue to have the same recurring challenges happen, unfold in front of our eyes. I don't think this serves anyone well. So thankfully, we're still in the Premier League. Thankfully, we're still in the Champions League for another month or so. And of course, it goes without saying, I'm hoping we go as deep as we possibly can. And you never know what might happen. So look, I've waffled on a fair bit now. I'm going to leave it there. Sorry for a bit more of a lackluster, dour, downbeat podcast. It's maybe it reflects the match itself well, and probably a combination of that and my tired state of mind right now. So thank you again. Thank you so much for listening. Whichever platform you're listening on, I would very much welcome a like or subscribe or review if you're able to, if you'd be so kind. It means a lot. Thank you so much again for tuning in. I'll be back on the next day or two to discuss the lead up to the PSV clash in midweek. So wherever you are in the world, thank you again for listening. Stay safe, stay well. As always, of course, as much as you possibly can, keep upbeat, keep positive. Be mindful of what content you consume. There's always people who come out and want to dance on Arsenal's grave, so to speak. So be mindful of what you consume. Look after yourself and come on, Arsenal.